I'll begin my talk this morning by reading the first line, the introductory line from the Amida Sutra. The Amida Sutra is one of the three Pure Land Sutras, one of the essential sermons of the Buddha that serves as the basis for our specific school of Buddhism. I invite you to join me in Gassho. Gassho on the Gashimas. Thus I have heard, once the Buddha dwelt in the Anathapindada garden of Jetavana in the country of Shravasti, together with a large company of bhikkhus of 1,250 members. They were all great arhats. Naman davats, naman davats, naman davats, naman davats, naman. So thank you all for joining us this morning. This is our season of celebrations. Is anybody preparing for some guests or have some house guests visiting with them? Yeah, you do, Joma? Yeah, Joma? Yeah, I see Mrs. Sakamoto has some guests, a guest here with us. Welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning. It's a season of hosting guests. It's also a season of giving. Has anybody prepared some presents for some family or friends? Right, that you're going to give on New Year's, right? The Osebo presents, our traditional custom of in Japanese Buddhism of giving New Year's presents of Osebo. I always think about the times I've spent New Year's with my wife's family. They have in front of their obutsudan, they have that custom of putting the presents that they receive in front of their obutsudan before they receive this. Do any of you have that custom too? And so in front of their obutsudan, there's a mountain of things. And the thing I like about the Japanese Osebo is it's always really practical. There's mountains of laundry detergent and beer and salad dressing and all things that you can really use. So it's a wonderfully practical time for giving. And I think across our cultures, whether it's celebrating Christmas this weekend or next weekend celebrating the New Year's and Oshogatsu, that this is a wonderful season of giving for us. And so in that spirit, and also in the spirit of our very important Buddhist holiday that we celebrate this month of December, does anybody remember what the important Buddhist holiday here in December is? The Buddhist holiday for the month of December. Yeah, anybody remember? No, remember we had a very special tree here that was up. It wasn't a Christmas tree. It was the Bodhi Day. That's right. Choma remembers Bodhi Day. Bodhi Day. And what is Bodhi Day when we celebrate? Yes, Choma. That's the day, Bodhi Day is the day that the Buddha became enlightened sitting underneath the Bodhi tree. So we bring our Bodhi tree out that's just like, it's the exact same kind of tree that the Buddha sat under when he attained enlightenment in India all those over 2,500 years ago. And so this month of December, we're remembering the important friends and the important family members and the disciples, the people who followed the Buddha's teachings. So today, since we're thinking about giving this time of year, I want to talk about one of the great givers of gifts in the Buddha's tradition, one of the great givers. And this was a merchant. A merchant is a person who makes their money buying and selling things. So he was a kind of a businessman, and he was a very successful businessman, but he was also a very generous businessman. So his name was Sudatta, and he was from the country of Savatthi, but everyone called him Anathapindada. Anatha means the helpless or the vulnerable, people who need help, people who are very poor or very sick or having a hard time. And Pindada means to give a gift, to give alms. So his name that everyone called him was Anathapindada, the one who gives gifts to those who are in need. He was a man of great generosity. But he also, in order to be very generous, he had to work very hard at his business. So he worked very hard to earn lots of money so that he could give lots of gifts to people. And so many people who work hard at their jobs, they travel around on business trips. Do you know anybody who travels from time to time on business trips, maybe goes away for a few days and comes back? Well, Anathapindada did that too. He would travel on business trips, and from time to time, he would visit the kingdom of Rajagriha. Rajagriha. Rajagriha was a place where one of the Buddha's very famous disciples and patrons, King Bimbisara, lived, but it was also the place where Anathapindada's brother-in-law lived. So his Anathapindada's sister and his brother-in-law lived there. And whenever he came to town, they would drop everything to give him a big welcome. Soon as he stepped in the front door, everything in the household would stop and they would give him a warm welcome. They would prepare delicious food. They would fix up a nice, comfortable room for him to stay in, a beautiful guest room. And so that's what always happened. Well, one day, Anathapindada went to visit his sister and his brother-in-law, and he showed up, and everyone was very busy. They were very busy, and they were so busy that they just said, "Oh, hi, Anathapindada. Why don't you wait right here? We'll be with you shortly." And so he just sat there and waited and waited while everybody around the house was rushing and rushing, preparing. They were cleaning things up. They were sweeping the floor. They were cooking in the kitchen. They were making everything beautiful. And Anathapindada said, "This is very strange. This is not the thing that usually happens. Usually when I come to town, everything stops. Everything stops and all the attention is on me. And this is very different. I wonder what's going on." But he was a very patient man, so he waited patiently. And finally, he saw his brother-in-law, and he said, Hey, wait. Just give me a minute. He says, Okay, I'll be with you in a second. And then he went off, and he rushed around until everything was finished. All the work was finished. And then finally, his brother-in-law came in, and he plopped down on the sofa. He says, "Oh, okay, thank you for waiting." And Anathapindada said, "What is happening? What is all the commotion? What's happening? Is there a wedding? Is someone getting married and I didn't hear about it? Are you preparing for a wedding ceremony?" He said, "No." He said, "Are you preparing for some special guest? Is King Bimbisara himself coming by for a visit?" He said, "No, but we are having a special guest. A very special guest is coming tomorrow." "Well, who is it? Who is it?" "It's not me. I'm already here, right?" He said, no, tomorrow the Buddha himself, the awakened one, is coming." Wait, what did you say? Who is coming?" He said, "The Buddha is coming." Wait, did you say the Buddha?" "Yes, the Buddha." Wait, did you say the Buddha is coming?" "Yes, the Buddha." "Okay, wait, I've got to get this clear. Did you say that the Buddha himself is coming here tomorrow?" He said, "Yes, the Buddha is coming." "Wow, even just to hear the name of the Buddha brings me great joy. In this world, it's very rare to hear the name of the Buddha. Just to hear it brings me great joy. And you tell me he's coming here tomorrow?" He said, "Yes, that's what I said, four times." He said, yes, he's coming here tomorrow." He said, "If he's coming here tomorrow, that must mean he's very close. Must mean he's staying somewhere very nearby. Could I go visit him?" He says, "Well, today is not probably a good day to just go and show up unannounced to the Buddha. The Buddha is a very busy man, but perhaps if you go first thing in the morning, you could go and you could meet the Buddha." So Anathapindada said, okay. And he went to sleep, he fell asleep. He went to bed very early. He went to sleep at 8 o'clock so that he could get up early. Got up early and he woke up. He's like, is it morning? You know what time it was? It was 10 o'clock at night. He went back to sleep, woke up. Is it morning? No, it's midnight, right? So he's only sleeping in 2 hour spurts. He kept waking up. Is it morning? Finally, he woke up at 4 a.m. He said, "Is it morning?" "Well, it's 4 a.m. Okay, well, the sun's going to be up soon. I better start out on my journey to go find the Buddha." So it was pitch dark. He went out in the dark and he went out looking for the Buddha. And he had night before bed, he had asked his brother-in-law and his sister, where is the Buddha staying? So he kind of had an idea, and he knew the roads well, but he only traveled during the daytime. So he set out, and he knew, I know the Buddha's in this direction. So he set out, and and as he got closer to the grove, the forest, because the Buddha liked to stay in forests where there was trees to provide nice, comfortable shade. And as he got to that forest, all of a sudden, he got very, very nervous and very scared because it was so dark, and he could hear all of the nocturnal animals. He could hear them walking around, and he could hear the sounds of the various animals, and he got nervous, and he started to have doubts. He wondered, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing out here in the middle of the night in this scary forest? What's the Buddha going to think when I show up first thing in the morning? Right? Is he going to think I'm some kind of a crazy? Maybe I better go back home. And he started, just sort of stopped, and he took a few steps. Oh, I better go. Oh, no, I better go back. Oh, no, I think I should go. No. And as he was going back and forth, all of a sudden, he heard a voice in his mind. Heard a voice, and it told him. It said, 100 elephants, 100 horses, 100 chariots drawn by mules, 100,000 maidens decked out with beautiful gems and earrings. All of these together are not worth even a 16th part, even 1/16th of one step forward right now. All of these precious things, all of your wealth, isn't worth even 1/16th of the value of taking a step forward now and continuing to go seek the Buddha. And so he knew, yes, I must go forward. And so as he traveled through the forest looking, just as the sun was starting to come up, it was still pretty dark. It was still pretty dark out. But the sun was starting to come out, and he saw the silhouette of the Buddha. And the Buddha called to him, and he said, Siddhartha. Remember, Siddhartha was his name, but no one called him Siddhartha. Everyone called him Anathapindada. No one had called him Siddhartha in years, and yet the Buddha knew his name. The Buddha knew to call him by his name. And so, hearing this, all of a sudden, he felt great peace, and he went to the Buddha. He went to the Buddha. And at first, he wasn't sure what to say to the Buddha. What do you say to the Buddha? And so he was thinking, what can I ask the Buddha? Oh, I didn't sleep very well last night. I wonder if the Buddha slept well. So he asked him the simple question. He said, did you sleep okay last night? Right? And the Buddha said, yes, yes. The awakened ones always sleep well, because they are free from doubt, and they are at peace. Right? And Siddhartha heard this message, and he realized, this Buddha, this is a teacher who can bring me peace, so that I won't have any trouble sleeping, so that I will be at peace, so that I will be able to see what is really true and important in my life. And so having heard the name of the Buddha, then he came to the Buddha and he told him, I heard that your name yesterday and I had to come and meet you. And the Buddha said, indeed, your pure faith has arisen and has brought you to this place. And you've been searching all through your life, trying to find happiness. And you already know that money and material things, goodies, aren't going to bring you happiness. And that's why you practice generosity. But you've been searching in vain up until this point, until you have met the true teacher. Until now, today, you meet the Buddha. Your joy upon hearing the Buddha's name makes you a fit vessel for the right law. That means that you're so happy just to hear the name of the Buddha, that means you're ready to hear the teachings. And so he told him the teachings, he taught him the Four Noble Truths, that life is suffering, that we all face difficulty in our lives. But if we learn to be generous and to let go and not to cling on to things and think about me and mine, then we can realize happiness. And the way to happiness is the Eightfold Path, right? Thought, right? Understanding, right? Right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. He gave this teaching. And Athapindatta was so moved and delighted. He said, I know that you're coming today to the house of my brother-in-law, but I want to invite you personally. The Buddha said, yes, your brother has invited me to come today, but I can come again tomorrow. And Athapindatta says, very good, very good. Tomorrow you will be my guest. And so he went home and he returned to his brother's home. And he said, the Buddha is coming today and he's also coming tomorrow. And tomorrow he will be my guest. And his brother-in-law, his sister said, oh, no, 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 this is our house. You are our guest here. Let us host the Buddha. Athapindatta wouldn't hear of it. He said, no, tomorrow the Buddha is my guest. We will have the same celebration that we have today, but I will bear all the expenses. I'll pay for all the food, all the decorations. Everything will be my treat. Will be my treat. Because I get joy from practicing generosity. I get joy from hosting the Buddha. And so the Buddha came 2 days in a row. And 2 days in a row, they got to hear the Buddha's teachings. They were so moved and so inspired by these teachings. And Athapindatta says, you know, I live a little distance from here. I live in a place called Savatthi or Shravasti. I live in this place called Shravasti, and I would like for you to be able to come and live there for a while and teach, to teach others so that they can receive the happiness that I have received. So the Buddha said, by way of response, he says, the awakened ones love peaceful places. That's all he said. But Athapindatta knew then that if I can find a good, peaceful place for the Buddha, then I can prepare a nice welcome, and he'll want to come and to hear he'll want to come and to let us hear his teachings. So immediately Athapindatta then set out, and along the way he said, the Buddha is going to be coming through here. All along the way to Shravasti, he said, the Buddha is going to be coming through here, so I want you to prepare. Here's some money, prepare him a nice welcome. And so all along the way, when the Buddha would travel, he would be able to be comfortable and to have nice hospitality. When Athapindatta finally got back to his home village of Shravasti, then he began to look around. He looked, went to every place. Some places were too noisy. It was too close to the center of town. Some places were too far away. It would be inconvenient for people to go there. Other places where there was too much wind or there weren't enough trees. And finally, he found the perfect place. This beautiful little grove, this beautiful little collection of trees in a nice, peaceful area, not too far from the edge of town. And he said, this is the perfect place. I must purchase this for the Buddha. Who is the owner of this land? He asked around and everybody said, oh, that's Prince Jetta's land. Prince Jetta owns that land. It was a gift from his father and he really, really likes it. It's his favorite place. He said, well, let me go and speak to Prince Jetta. I'm sure I can convince him that he can part with it because I will offer him a very good price. And so he went to visit Prince Jetta. And he said, I'd like to purchase this beautiful grove that is on your property. Prince Jetta said, I know exactly the place you're talking about. Athapindatta said, very good. Prince Jetta said, not for sale. Not for sale. Athapindatta said, name the price. Name any price and I will pay the price. Not for sale. Come on, come on. Just tell me. Just pick a price. Any price. I'll pay it. Prince Jetta said, even if you were to cover the whole grove with gold coins, it's not for sale. Athapindatta said, perfect. Deal. I'll cover it with gold coins. No, 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 no. I said, even if you cover it with gold coins, not for sale. So they started arguing back and forth. Yeah, but you named the price. No, not for sale. So finally, they had to bring in a judge to come and decide what would be the solution. Would Athapindatta be able to buy it? And the judge said, he listened very carefully to both sides, and he said, Prince Jetta, You named a price. He told you to name a price, and you gave a specific amount of money. And so, if Anathapindotta has enough gold coins to cover the whole field with gold coins, then you must sell the grove to him. Prince Jetta said, okay, whatever. Nobody has that much money. Okay, so they returned home, and immediately Anathapindotta began to summon chariots and carts from his storehouse of gold. He was a very successful businessman. He had so many gold coins, and he began to lay them out one by one, covering the whole ground. And people walked by and said, what is this? It looks like the ground is made of gold. And the workers, Anathapindotta's helpers, said, well, our master, Anathapindotta, he's going to cover this whole grove with gold so that he can purchase it from Prince Jetta. Prince Jetta heard about this, and he heard that he's almost covered the whole thing. Prince Jetta said, no way. I've got to go see it for myself. So he went and he traveled there, and he saw that the whole grove, except for the entrance part. So they started at the back, and they filled it up, coming to the front, right? And just got right to the doorway, and just around the entrance, there was an open spot with no gold. And so at that moment, Prince Jetta saw this and said, wow, look at all that money. I can't believe that he would give so much of his money just for this grove. And so he said, stop, wait a second. Bring Anathapindotta here. So Anathapindotta came, and he said, this is really remarkable. Now I understand how serious you are, but why? Why are you spending so much money for this grove? There are lots of beautiful places you could buy for just a fraction of this money. Why this place? And Anathapindotta said, this place is for the Buddha. And Prince Jetta said, who? The Buddha. This place is for the Buddha. And when Prince Jetta heard the name of the Buddha, he said, oh, the Buddha, the awakened one. Just to hear his name brings me peace, brings me inspiration. And so I will accept the amount that you've already laid down as payment, and I will match that amount to build a beautiful gate so that this will always be a special place for the Buddha, so that it will be safe from all the noise and the ruckus and the confusion outside. We will build a beautiful gate. And together they built beautiful homes and beautiful places. And this was the first temple, the first place that was built for the Buddha to gather and to hear, to share his teachings, and for people to hear the Buddha's teachings. And so people would continue to travel here, and Anathapindotta would always give generous donations to the monks, give them generous donations of food. And people loved Anathapindotta, and the monks really appreciated him. And people saw how happy he was. And the king of that village, that area, he also saw this, and he became inspired. He saw this, and he said, I would like to practice generosity too, just like Anathapindotta. So he too would invite the monks to come and visit him and come to his place. And then when they got there, he would order his servants. He said, feed all these monks, give them the best food. And so his servants would hand out the food, but they would just kind of like put it on plates, like it was fast food. They'd just sort of dish it out and hand it out. And so the monks, they would take it in their bowls, and they would bring it to the local people, the poor people of the village, and they would share it with them. And then those people would then give it to the monks when the monks came around on their begging rounds, right? So strange. The monks are receiving this food, but then they're giving it to the people who need it, and then they're receiving it again. And so the king, he caught wind of this, and he thought, this is so strange. The monks receive my food, but then they go and they give it to these other people, to the poor people, and then they receive it from them. He said, this is so peculiar. So he called the Buddha. He called the Buddha, and he summoned him to his palace. And he said, Oh, world honored one, your monks are doing something very strange. I always give them a very generous gift, but then they always take it and give it to the poor people, and then they receive it back from the poor. Why do they do that? The Buddha said, well, when the monks receive, the important thing is the heart of the person who gives it. The monks wish to receive gifts from those who have the generous heart, who give joyfully, joyfully. And they've said when they go and they receive the gifts from your servants, they just kind of dump it in their bowls, right? They don't give with the heart of joy. But when they receive the gifts from the poor, even though the poor people don't have that much, they practice true dana, the gift of generosity, right? And the king heard this and he realized, oh, Anatta Pindatta is truly a generous man. And he kept giving, and he used up a lot of his money giving generously. And then one day there was a big flood and all of his storehouses were washed away, washed down the river. And all of a sudden he had nothing. So he had to start back from zero, building up his business. And even though he had very little, he would still give as best he could. And one time, a visitor came to his house and said, what are you doing? You're giving away all your money. If you just saved and didn't give so much to the monks, you would be a very wealthy man. Your palace would be filled with jewels, filled with treasure. And Anatta Pindatta said, I only know of three treasures. Can you guess what they are? Three treasures. Right? The Buddha, the Dharma, the Buddha's teaching, and the Sangha. These are the only three treasures I know. See, he knew that real happiness doesn't come from stuff. Real happiness comes from a true teacher like the Buddha, comes from a wonderful teaching like the Dharma, and from a community of people who come together to hear that teaching. We call that the Sangha. These are the three treasures, right? So when we hear this story, we hear about many people who rejoiced, who realized true joy, realized what's really important and valuable by meeting the Buddha. And by simply hearing his name, their hearts were turned around. This is our basic practice. This is what we do in Jodo Shinshu. We hear the name of the Buddha. When we say the words Namo Amida Butsu in our services, then we're hearing the name of Amida Buddha. And just as Anatta Pindatta and Prince Jetta received great joy and peace of mind just from hearing the name of the Buddha, we too receive this peace of mind from hearing the name of Amida Buddha. Shinran Shonin tells us that to hear this name and to understand the significance of the name of the Buddha is to be settled on our path to awakening, our journey to the Pure Land of Amida Buddha. And we hear this teaching in the Amida Sutra that I read just the beginning passage of it. All the sutras begin this same way. Thus I have heard at one time the Buddha was dwelling in a certain place. And here we hear about where was the Buddha dwelling? When he delivered the Amida Sutra, he was dwelling in the Anatta Pindatta Garden of Jetavana. That is that temple, that place that the Buddha received from Anatta Pindatta. That was his generosity. So we hear this teaching and we know that it's thanks to that place that we are also able to hear this teaching, thanks to the Buddha and all of these wonderful things. So in this time of giving, I hope we're all able to give generously, but also to live with gratitude for what we have received and to hear the name of the Buddha with joy and peace of mind. So let us conclude with Gassho, and together let us hear the name of the Buddha. Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo Amida Butsu.